From the birth of the State of Israel in 1948 to the 1980s, comments about this Jewish nation were uniformly and reflexively positive. Jews and non-Jews alike took pride in the resourcefulness of a people who could make the desert bloom and who had the backbone and will to defend themselves against Arab invaders. Somewhere along the way, this view changed. It wasn't a sudden event, albeit the astonishing alacrity of an Israeli victory over its enemies in 1967 seemed to turn the underdog into a dominant force. It was a shift born of economic, cultural, and political factors. On the economics front, the reliance of the West on Middle Eastern oil to run their industries gave Arab states leverage they did not possess at any time in the past. Israel became a target and a refuge. On the one hand, the argument was made that Israel is an occupying nation that had displaced Palestinian refugees. On the other hand, the Arab states could hide behind the claim of Nakba, or the catastrophe, as they violated human rights in their own nations. Israel became a useful source of hostility, even though Arab states did almost nothing to mitigate the plight of the refugees they claimed to represent. Oil money also allowed for the promotion of these misguided historical interpretations in madrasas around the world. Israel was considered colonial, exploitive, imperialistic. Buttressing these claims was a book, Orientalism, that captured the spirit of this Arab zeitgeist. The author, Edward Said, was handsome, charming, and persuasive. He was also a fabricator. His contention that he was born in the Palestinian territory and was forcibly displaced by Israeli troops is a complete and utter fabrication. That, however, didn't matter. His book became essential reading material for any student interested in Middle East studies. As Chairman Mao noted, a lie repeated 1,000 times becomes the truth. Not only did Said have a well-endowed chair at Columbia, he was the architect of the university's Middle East Studies program, which is notoriously anti-Israel. Of course, Columbia is not alone. Saudi money was given to Georgetown, Yale, UCLA, among others, all with the understanding that the Arab narrative would be given a fair hearing. Without a countervailing argument, the fair became in large measure the one-sided. The well-funded Muslim student organization described in the Holy Land Foundation case as a front for the Muslim Brotherhood was launched at campuses across the nation with an agenda that demonizes Israel and recruits impressionable teenagers into its ranks. Many Muslim groups sponsor interfaith seminars designed, it is said, to develop an understanding with Islam. What actually occurs is a form of proselytizing, since the principles of the West and the history of Israel are not conveyed to Arab students. Interfaith is usually a one-way street. The same might be said of the United Nations. Despite the heroic campaign to beat back Zionism as racism proposal of the 57 Muslim states and their allies, Israel is the most vilified nation in the General Assembly deliberations. In fact, Israel is cast as a rogue state, notwithstanding the medical assistance Israel provides whenever there is a global natural disaster. So pervasive is the Arab narrative that even Jewish groups, that is to say groups like J Street and several Hillels, espouse this line or at least assume the grievance has legitimacy. As a consequence, Israel is not only opposed by foes, but by so-called friends. This is somewhat akin to the Pogo position. I have seen the enemy, and it is us. To suggest that pro-Israel sentiment needs a boost is to maintain the obvious. Without it, however, the road ahead is littered with dangerous metaphorical minds, each intent on blowing up pro-Israel attitudes and delegitimizing the home of the Jews.